Hello everyone.
Okay, y'all can hear me because it's only a small room and we're a small group of people. We're going to sing a song first before we get on to the message. Song 174, O Great God. Okay. Alex will project it on the screen. O Great God. Great, and it's really a privilege for us to be able to come before Him and worship Him. Today, my topic is past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. And we know that we all have a past because we all live in the constraint of time and space. And we currently live in the future, in the present. And then we know that we all have a future that we either look forward to, whether you look forward to or not, we're going to get there one day. Even right now, I wish I could go back to the past because I want to go back to last night when I pressed send to the PowerPoint to Alex. I didn't realize that it hasn't fully uploaded. And I pressed send and of course the file wasn't really sent. And I switched off my computer and went to sleep. So I didn't even see the email that sent by Alex later on and say, where's the file? So, yeah, but I can't go back. So Alex now had to scramble to try to type in and copy and paste the PowerPoint verses. So our past and our present and our future, we're going to look at that today in the light of the scripture. And we know that time is something that is quite fascinating. A lot of people want to know more about how time works. And that's why there's so many movies and made and so many books written about time travel. And I'm sure that you have seen some of those, right? Either read them or watch a movie, and that you can go back in time and you change a bit of what happened in the past, and suddenly the future is all different. Alright? So it's quite fascinating. But we know that in reality, we can't really go back in time. Okay? We can't really go back in time. What happened in the past may have an impact of what we do today in our current present time. And certainly have an impact on what the future holds for us. Okay? So it is something that is quite fascinating, and I hope that we can go through that today in the light of the scripture, especially comparing a non-believer and a Christian. What the past, the present, and the futures hold for them. And we know that it will be quite different. So before we go on, let's look at the scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 1 to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 10. It's on the board, and you can, if you use the New King James Version, I think, yeah, which is what I use, okay? So we're going to do Ephesians 2, verse 1 to verse 10. We're going to read together on the screen. You can read it. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So this part describes our past. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raise us up together, make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise God for his wonderful words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this morning we can worship you. Such a freedom, Lord, that we really enjoy and treasure to be able to sing openly without any restrictions on us. We thank you that we can gather around you and to worship you in your table, and to be able to break bread and remember what you did for us. So now we're going to think and meditate on these verses and talk about them. May you help us, Lord, to understand. Pray in your precious name. Amen. We just had the Lord's table, and the Lord's table also has a past, has a present, and a future too. So we know that in the past, the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to remember him in the bread and in the cup. He wanted them to remember him. And then afterwards, when they did that in the Last Supper, he was arrested, he was betrayed, and he was crucified to the cross. So, in the present time, we who are believers, we also sort of carry out what he commanded us. So we sit together, we break bread, we drink the cup, and then we remember him. We remember what he did for us on the cross, and we renew our offerings to him, our dedications to him. And there is a future element as well, because we're only doing this breaking of bread only until he comes. means that there's something to look forward to. One day, we will not need to break bread anymore. We do not need to drink from the cup anymore, because we will be able to see Him face to face. Okay, that's the day we are looking forward to. We do this every Sunday, but one day when He returns, we will stop doing that. We will just be with Him. We will be with Him forever. So that's our past, present, and future in the Lord's table. Now, just now I talked about the past, present, and future for a believer versus a non-believer is very different. But maybe I should just define what is a non-believer and what is a Christian believer. Okay, a Christian believer is someone who believes in a God that was described by the Bible. In a sense that we believe that the Bible was the Word of God, who actually a revelation of who God is. And He revealed, the Bible revealed that God is our Creator who created heaven and earth. And that because of our sins, He has a Son, He has sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross, to redeem us, to substitute us, and to basically wash our sins away with His blood, so that God can look at His blood and then look at us and say, "I'll accept you because of His blood for you." So that is a Christian believer. And a Christian believer not only believes that the truth as revealed in the Bible, he also wants to dedicate his life to following the Lord Jesus who has died for him. So that's a Christian believer. So what is the definition of a non-believer then? A non-believer is someone who does not believe in the Bible. He does not believe in the existence of God. Or he may believe there is a God, but he chooses to disobey Him. He chooses to refuse to obey Him. I listened to some interviews recently, and there was one atheist in UK. And you know what he said? He said, "I only believe in one God, and that God is me. So the only God I believe is me." He was very proud with the way he said that. Sad to say that if he meet a real God one day, he'll be in big trouble, isn't he? I really hope that he will be able to change his mind and think about the real God who is willing to save him if he is willing to accept. So there's a difference of definitions of a non-believer and a believer. Another non-believer may be someone who believes in a man-made religions. Many religions that try to reach God by their own efforts. But we know that there's no way we can reach God by ourselves. We can only be saved by grace through faith. There is no other way. That salvation is a gift of God. No one can reach God by our own efforts. So there's a definition of a non-believer and a Christian. So when we look at the past, the present, and the future of a non-believer versus a Christian, we can see quite a stark difference. We start with the past first. The past of both Christians and non-believers looks nearly the same. And of course, there will be some differences that I will go to afterwards. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 1 and 3. We have read that just now, but let's read it again. "And you He make alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And then in verse 12 it says, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Can you see that Ephesians 2 describes our conditions in the past? Whether you are a Christian now, or whether you are a non-believer now. our past is nearly the same. So he described that in the past, how do we live? We live to satisfy the lust of our flesh. You know, John talked about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the things that we engage ourselves in, because that's how we live. And he said here, we are without Christ. We are without hope. We are without God. That is a very sad condition of a Christian and of a non-Christian before a Christian became a Christian. So their past is nearly the same. They were without God, without Christ, and without hope. And they live to satisfy the lust of the flesh. So all this will be judged by God. We will conceive and we were born in sin. We can't change that. Because Adam and Eve, they failed God and they rejected God, and sin came into the world through them. And when we were born with sins. No one, none of our parents teach us to lie and to be greedy and to be selfish. But we lies and we were greedy and we can become very selfish. Because there's a sin within us. And we live a life that is really terrible. Without Christ, without God, without hope. And that is the three times without anything that really matters in our life. So that sin in us will never satisfy. It will keep on wanting us to indulge more and more. And our conscience daily accuses us. Daily telling us that you are a horrible person. Even when a non-believer tried to do good, even before we became a Christian, we tried to do good, we find that it is impossible. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 20 says that, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." I actually read from ESV version of this verse, okay? So it's slightly different to what's on the screen. Paul had the experience. There's good that he knew that he should do, but he couldn't do it. The evil that he did not want to do, he keep on doing it. So that's our past. Whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, you have that past that you could not please God on your own efforts. But once a non-Christian became a Christian, then the whole thing changed. Not only his present life will change, but something of his past will change as well. We say we can't change the past, but for a Christian, his past will be affected, and affected greatly. Because a Christian put their trust in a God that was not confined by time and space. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? He's the same yesterday, in the past, today, in the present, and forever, in future, forever and ever. He is the same. And 2 Peter 3 says that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Means that time is not a problem for God. He can wait as long as he wanted to. He can also shorten time. 1,000 years can become a day. So in his hands, time is not an issue. Our God, as described in the Bible, is omnipresent. Means that he can be anywhere, at any time, in any place. So this is our God. So if a person who is a non-believer, who has a terrible past, without Christ, without God, and without hope, but he began to put his trust in God, in the God that was described and revealed by the Bible, then his life would take a dramatic turn and change. But for the non-believers, whatever happened in the past with him, he actually carries it into the present time as well. So what he could not do in the past, he could not do in the current time. He could not do good in the past, he cannot do good in the present time. And the more years he lived, he discovered that he keep repeating the same problem, the same mistakes, the same sins. And he feel terrible, but he couldn't change anything. The longer he lived, the more sins he committed. Remember in John chapter 8, there was a woman that was caught in adultery, and they brought her before Jesus. And the people who brought her before Jesus, they want to accuse Jesus and to see what he will do to try to trap him into giving them either okay or not okay to stone the woman. Remember, Jesus kept writing on the floor, did not look at them, and they keep pressing him and say, what should we do? Should we stone this woman or not? Whether Jesus say yes or no, he will be trapped. Then Jesus straightened his back and looked at them and said, who among you who did not sin can cast the first stone? And then he went back down and started drawing on the floor again. And then the Bible described very beautifully, it said, from the oldest to the youngest, they all left the room one by one. In the end, the whole room was empty except the Lord Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Because the older the person was, he realized that he has committed more sins. So the oldest one left the room first, until the last one went, which is the younger person, and they began to leave the room as well. The longer a person lived, the longer he realized that the much sins that he has committed, and he knew that he really cannot look to the future with any certainty, with any hope, because he found that he couldn't change his current condition. But God is merciful. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to verse 10 say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raise us up together and make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? God is merciful and God is gracious. When we discover that we could not handle life without sinning against him, he looked at us and he had mercy on us. And then he opened the invitation to us by accepting his son, the Lord Jesus, who came and died for us. And if we are willing to do that, we find that he has elevated us from the place of a sinner to the place of his children. His adopted children. He wants to adopt us as his children. He wants to make us his children because he is merciful and he is gracious. So it is a gift that he has given to everyone. He's open to every single one. Believers, non-believers, whenever they heard this invitation, if they are willing to accept, then they will be invited into his kingdom and become his children. It's because he said that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So once a believer has been accepted by the Lord, he has changed his way of life in the present days as well. He became a person who will do the good works that God has prepared for him to do. So when the non-believers became a believer and accepted and become accepted into the kingdom of God as God's children, they were able to begin to do things that will glorify God. Instead of what was described in Romans 7, that they could not do anything that is good, now they can do something that is good because God has prepared for them to do. They do not need to be weighed down weighed down by the sins that was in the past. Because God has made a conclusion to those sins in the past so that they can carry on with their present life in joy, in peace, and in hope. Let's do a bit of a time traveling. Now, let's say we go back to the time where Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Let's say that was the present time. Now, that woman was so ashamed of her life in the past. Remember, she has five husbands, and the one that she was currently living in was not even her husband. So, you can imagine how shameful she felt. She finds that she has no way to escape from that shame in her little village. In those days, a village is a small place that everybody knows everybody. Okay? So she felt ashamed, and we discover that she went to the well in the middle of the day when it was the hottest time. No woman would do that. They usually do it early in the morning or late in the evening. But she did that in the middle of the day. Jesus wanted to go past Samaria so Jesus can meet her. Now this woman, in the past, she has committed sins. She has lived a shameful life. Married and divorced, maybe married and the husband died or whatever, we're not sure. But she had five husbands. That is quite unusual. Now, she was thankful. But when she met the Lord Jesus, in the conversation with the Lord Jesus, she discovered that Jesus is not an ordinary Jewish man. That Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was the promised Messiah. Her eye was open, and she ran off, leaving her water bottle behind, and went to the town. What did she say to the town? Come see a man. Come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Now, everybody knows what she did. She was shameful about it, but now she felt no shame. She said, come and see this man who told me that I have five husbands and the one I'm living in is not a husband. She told me everything that I ever did. What happened to her past? Her past was covered in shame. Now she's not even shameful to talk about it. Because she had met the Messiah. She had met the Messiah who had accepted her. And she was so joyful and so happy, she ran off and told everybody. Anybody else she can find, she told them. And they all came and listened to the Lord Jesus himself and find out for themselves, is he truly the Christ? So can you see that once you met the Messiah, once you met the Lord Jesus and accepted him and know that he accepted you, you change your past. You also change your present. A Christian cannot undo the sins he committed in the past, but he can see the following in relation to his past, present, and future. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can see that even before we were born, God has chosen us, even before the foundation of the world. He knew that we will be born in sin and that we will commit sins. He knew all that was in the past. But still, he has chosen us. How do we know that he has chosen us? When we accepted him, then we know that we have been chosen by him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the believer. Can you see that? He wants to make us his sons through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So we are saved by grace through faith and experience the forgiveness of God. Our past guilt and our past sins will not wear us down anymore, because we know that Christ has took our sins and he was crucified to the cross with our sins, and our sins were judged on the cross. And when a Christian knew that his sin has been forgiven, he was also given a new humility in order to worship God and in order to seek forgiveness from those that they offended as well. I remember when Abraham, who was speaking here not long ago, Abraham was a young boy. But by that time, even though he was a young boy, he was already a Christian because he accepted the Lord Jesus. And one day in our conversations, he said something a bit rude. And I was a bit shocked, but I didn't say anything. But the next day, I saw Abraham waiting for me in the church, and he was quite eager to talk to me. So I said good morning to him. Then he approached me and said, "Uncle Ichiro, I'm so sorry about what I said yesterday. Can you please forgive me?" And I said, "Oh, of course, Abraham, I forgive you. And may God bless you." And with a big smile, and he was very happy with that I accepted his apology, and then he walked off. Now, Abraham, before he became a Christian, I don't think he would do that. But after he became a Christian, he knew that God's lies were within him, and God was not happy with him when he says something rude to me. And he has that humility in to come before me and seek forgiveness. Now that is something that only a true Christian believers will do. And so that new humility that was given to him came because he knew the forgiveness of God, and he wanted to ask for the forgiveness of the people that he has offended. The other thing that happened is that when we became a Christian, God also put the Holy Spirit within us. God put the Holy Spirit within us so that we may live according to His guidance, not fulfilling the desires of our flesh, but to do the work of God. That is what God has done for us. And now with that all in place, we can look forward to a new hope, looking forward to the future without fear. Just now we saw in the past, a non-believer has no hope, no God, and no Christ. But a believer will have Christ, will have God, will have hope. So his past has been changed, his present has been changed. And then he can look forward to the future with much hope. But for the unbeliever, not only he can't change what is in the past, he can't change what is in the present, because he keep on doing the same sins again and again. He also can't look forward to the future with any hope. So for the unbeliever, the future is really a terrible prospect. Whether he chooses to believe it or not, the future is going to be terrible. Because the Bible reveals to us that the future for a non-believer who insists in not accepting God will be a terrible place. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, verse 15, talk about the last judgment. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, on whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Terrible description. The lake of fire, the second death. This is the eternal separation from God. Eternal. Do you know that according to the statistics, even before COVID-19 hit the world, there's about 150,000 people in the world population die every single day. 150,000 people die every single day. Most of them will face the final judgment as written here, and they will be found wanting, because the majority of the populations do not know God and do not want to accept God. But for a believer, his future is very different. In the past, he knew that his sins has been forgiven by God. He has been justified by God. In the present, he is being saved. He is being sanctified by God each day. He will learn to overcome sin's power over him. In the future, he will be completely saved, which what Romans talk about, it's talk about redemption of the body. He will be completely saved by having his corrupt body changed, transformed to a glorious body. So in a sense, he will be glorified by God. He will overcome sin's control totally at that time. There's no more presence of sins, and he can look forward to that future. Even if a believer may pass away before the Lord Jesus come back, he will also be raised to life again, to be with the Lord forever. And that was a very comforting word in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 to 17. When Paul talked to the believers about those who have passed away. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. What a comforting words. Not only our past has been forgiven, our present is now assured in our relationship with God. The future, we can look forward to a resurrection that will be that will make us all alive and be with the Lord forever. And that is the promise of the scripture, which I believe, and which every Christian who have embraced Bible believe. And not only that, when Jesus Christ appeared, the Bible says that we shall be like him. Not only we have Christ, we shall be like Christ. And that is the promise in 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can see that there is a stark difference between a Christian and a non-believer in the past, present, and future. It's quite clear. So if I ask you, which one would you choose to be? Will you choose to remain as a non-believer, struggling with sins in the past, struggling with sin in the current days, and without hope, without God, without Christ, to look to the future at the judgment day that you will be found wanting? Or will you choose Christ? Will you choose grace of God that he has freely given to you, that you might be committing your life to the Lord Jesus and choose to live a life that is pleasing to him? Which one would you choose? Sadly, when people were confronted with such a choice, which to us seems to be so easy, so clear, so easy to make, they will still not choose God. Partly because of their unbelief. Just like the man I say in UK said, the only God I believe in is me. Or partly because they do not want God to interfere with what they are doing now. They enjoy their life of sins. They enjoy the sinful way to satisfy the lust of their flesh. They do not want God to interfere with it. Let's do another time travel. Now let's go back to the time Jesus was on the cross. And there were two robbers next to him, one on his left and one on his right. Remember, there was one robber keep ridiculing the Lord Jesus, saying, "No, if you are the Christ, come and save us and save yourself." The other robber suddenly had fear of God. He said, "You know, you be quiet. We got what we deserve, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Today before this end, this day end, you shall be with me in paradise." Now what was that man's past, the robber on the cross? A sinful life. Perhaps he had even committed murder, because only the worst criminal would be crucified on the cross. So he can't go back, he can't jump off the cross now to go to his past to correct anything. Can't even say sorry to the person that he sinned against. He was hanged on the cross. His hand and his leg was fixed to the cross. He couldn't do anything. But right there at that present moment, next to him was Jesus Christ, who was also crucified. But by faith, he saw in that crucified Christ, knowing that he is different, knowing that he is a king. And he asked him whether he can remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And the word of the Lord Jesus changed his present predicament, also changed his future. His present predicament is that he's dying on the cross. And Jesus said to him, "Today, before this day end, you will be with me in paradise. There will be a place, a beautiful place where Abraham was, Father Abraham was. And there will be no more pain." Can you see what a big difference that robber's life is when he make that confession to accept the Lord Jesus? So why won't you make the same confessions and accept the Lord Jesus? The last few days I've been watching the development in Malaysia quite carefully, because in Malaysia, every day for the last several days, between 7,000 to 8,000 people has been infected with COVID virus. That is more people per capita than India. It means that if you have the same amount of people, number of people in Malaysia, they will have more than a few hundred thousand people get affected in COVID. And the last 1 year, 370 million people have been infected, 3.5 million people have lost their life, and more to come. This is terrible. So we can see that even though we are quite safe here in Australia, but things could have changed very dramatically. Time is not in our hands. Our past, our present, and our future is basically depending on whether you have believed in the Lord Jesus and accepted his gift of salvation, or you choose to remain in your sins. So choose wisely. Let us pray. Lord, we commit all the people here in this room. If anyone among us have yet to make the decisions for you, Lord, may you speak to them, talk to them, and show them who you are. That you are truly a God of love who care for their past, their present, and their future. Lord, open their hearts to you so that they may embrace you give for salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will also be changed, and that their current life and their future is assured in great joy and in peace, because you love them and you have given your Son for them. So Lord, we do commit them to your hands. For the believers, we thank you, Lord, that our life has been changed and transformed because of our faith in you. May you help us to continue to do the good works that glorify you while we are still here. In your Son's precious name.